Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the scripture lesson which was just read. As Christians, we would like to think that within the church, jealousy, envy, and sinful human pride are non-existent. We would like to believe that God's people are above petty squabbles and childish arguments. We would like to imagine that all church workers and servants of Christ get along perfectly and always speak well of one another. And perhaps this may be true, at least some of the time, or just even on the outward surface of personal relationships within the church. But the fact is, we're all sinful human beings. We all fall short of the glory of God. Even though we may be ordained or commissioned workers of the church, we're certainly not immune to the influence of jealousy and envy and sinful human pride. In our text for today from Numbers chapter 12, we certainly see that even back in the days of the Old Testament, the leaders of God's people were also tempted by pride, envy, and jealousy. In our text, we read that Miriam and Aaron began to grumble against their brother Moses. Their initial complaint was against the woman whom Moses had married. Now, whether this was Zipporah, the first wife of Moses, or perhaps another woman who became married to him after Zipporah's death, the text does not clearly tell us. However, it does reveal that there was indeed jealousy over that issue of who could and who should speak for the Lord. Miriam and Aaron grumbled to each other, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us?" Basically, they were envious that their younger brother Moses was the main spokesman and prophet of the Lord. Now, this was truly an unfair complaint against Moses for several reasons. First of all, Moses had not done anything wrong by marrying this Cushite woman, whoever she was. Of course, there were instructions given to Israel to avoid marriage with the people who lived in the land of Canaan, the promised land to where they were all headed. But this woman was not from that territory. So if the Lord had not forbidden Moses to be married to this particular woman, then Miriam and Aaron had no right to complain against her either. Secondly, the Lord himself is the one who calls and commissions a prophet to speak in his name. That role of prophet was not one that Moses just took upon himself of his own doing. You'll remember that the Lord spoke to Moses from out of the burning bush when Moses was just a simple and humble shepherd. And God called him to deliver his people Israel from out of Egypt. Moses did not seek that position for himself. In fact, he was very reluctant to accept the Lord's call. And at one point, he even said to the Lord, "Please, send someone else to do it." But nevertheless, he accepted God's will for his life. He led the Israelites out of Egypt. Miriam and Aaron, likewise, were servants of the Lord in their own particular vocations. Aaron, of course, was the first high priest. He was the one who led the people in worship. He offered sacrifices on the holy altar of the Lord. He was the only one allowed to enter that Holy of Holies within the tent of meeting to offer blood of sacrifice for the sins of the people on the Day of Atonement. Therefore, Aaron had a very high, very important calling from the Lord. He was the worship leader. He was the overseer of all the religious ceremonies that took place at the holy tabernacle of the Lord. Likewise, Miriam played an important role among the people. Back in Exodus chapter 15, we read that Miriam was called a prophetess. And as such, she led the Israelite women in singing that song of victory over the Egyptian army that was drowned in the Red Sea. No doubt, she was a leader among the women of Israel. And even as a young girl, she was a blessing to her own brother Moses. She watched her baby brother be placed into that basket, lowered into the Nile River to save his life from Pharaoh's edict. And she was there to offer help when the daughter of Pharaoh drew Moses up out of the water. Miriam offered to find a nurse from among the Hebrew women to care for that helpless child. Therefore, both Aaron and Miriam did not have any reason to think that they were useless or unimportant people who were forgotten among the ranks of Israel. To the contrary, they both played instrumental roles of leadership right alongside of their brother Moses. But yet it was also true. Moses was given a different, a more pronounced role of leadership among the people. Moses was a prophet like no other. And as the Lord reminded Miriam and Aaron in our text, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, not just in dreams or visions. Moses saw the visible manifestation of the Lord, not just once, but on many occasions. You'll remember the Lord appeared to Moses from within that burning bush. Moses was there on the top of Mount Sinai, the place where the Lord came down from heaven with fire and smoke. And on at least two different occasions, Moses was on the top of Mount Sinai in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, the Lord would descend upon the tent of meeting in the form of a cloud, and there Moses would speak with the Lord face to face. Therefore, Moses was a prophet like none other, due to his many experiences of God's personal revelation of himself. But this is because God chose Moses for this sacred calling. But unfortunately, it was because of this special divine relationship with Moses that Miriam and Aaron were now provoked to jealousy against their very own brother. This was not due to any fault or aggravation on the part of Moses. Our text says Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Moses was not some proud, arrogant leader of God's people. He was not a selfish, oppressive tyrant over the Israelites who followed him. He was very humble, very meek, and he especially looked out for the interests of God's people. And oftentimes he would intercede on behalf of the sins of Israel, begging God to be merciful to his people, even after the Lord was so angry with them for their disobedience. Yes, Miriam and Aaron were wrong when they complained about Moses. They grumbled against the chosen, appointed prophet of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord became angry with the two of them. And the Lord even chastened Miriam, causing her to become a leper. Miriam, who apparently despised and considered the wife of Moses to be some unclean foreigner worthy to be cast out of Israel, suddenly found herself in that same position. She was now the despised one. She had to be placed outside of the camp of Israel, for now she was unclean on account of that leprosy. But thanks be to God, Aaron realized the seriousness of their transgression. He confessed their sin to Moses. He asked for mercy. And Moses, who forgave their sin, quickly cried out to the Lord, "O God, please heal her." And Moses once again shows his humility, holding no grudges against his brother and sister. And Moses, again, he acts as the intercessor before the Lord to ask God for grace and compassion upon his sinful people. And after 7 days, Miriam was cleansed, and she was restored back to the community of Israel. Now, as we understand from the New Testament, these events of the Old Testament were recorded for our benefit as lessons and as warnings. And here we see from the example of Miriam and Aaron that jealousy and envy are certainly wrong and sinful, especially among the leaders of God's people. We should learn that breaking the eighth commandment is a grievous and serious sin. In fact, we should be reminded of what our Lord taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus himself said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Miriam and Aaron wrongly judged their brother Moses, only to find themselves falling under the judgment of the Lord. Thanks be to God, there's an intercessor for sinners who pleads the case on behalf of God's disobedient people. For Miriam and Aaron, it was their brother Moses. For us, it is none other than Jesus Christ, who is our brother according to his human nature, who is our Lord according to his divine nature. Christ is the one we call upon for grace and forgiveness, especially in those times when we break the eighth commandment. Christ is the one who takes away our sin of judging others as we confess our sin and we call upon his name in faith. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that purifies us from all sin, even the sins of jealousy and envy. Jesus is the one we must turn to for mercy and salvation, for he alone suffered and died on the cross for all of our sins. Like Aaron and Miriam, we should be reminded, it's the Lord who calls and chooses those who serve in his kingdom. It's not our duty to judge those whom God has called, especially those who are faithfully doing his will according to his purpose. Instead, we should be content to serve the Lord with the talents and gifts he has given to us. We should gladly accept our calling and vocation in life and not tear down others, not make their lives miserable just because we're envious of their position. For no matter who we are, we must all stand in the presence of the Lord. We must give an account of our own words and deeds. And thanks be to God, as we confess our sin, as we call upon Jesus' name, the Lord himself comes down to us. He brings us grace and mercy. The Lord Jesus especially comes to us in his body and blood of the Lord's Supper. He comes to forgive us, to renew us, to strengthen us. In fact, the presence of the Lord here in the assembly of believers, it's a blessing to be received by faith. That's what enables us to be in the fellowship of all his saints. This place is our tent of meeting. We come face to face with Jesus Christ through his own word that is preached and through his sacraments that are offered to us. And that's what restores us back to the community of God's people. Christ, who is much greater, much better than Moses, he is present here. He is present where two or three are gathered in his name. For he alone is our prophet, priest, and king. Let us gladly repent of our sins, especially those sins we commit against one another. And let us look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For by following him, that's how we serve his church and live in harmony with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.